First, good morning. Nice to see such a really strong turnout. Welcome also to those who are here for the first time, and welcome to those returning. Sorry if you're returning, you have to listen to me yet again for the third consecutive time, so I apologize in advance for that. So again, Chris Warren, I'm with Deutsche Asset Management, and I'm going to do something a little different. I'm not going to talk about product. I'm actually going to give an update around European equity. It's been a fairly sleepy place for the last few years, not a lot happening. I've been having no sleep because of all the developments in Europe over the last couple of years. So it's been exciting, we'll put it that way. So those of you that were here last year might remember, I like to do a little bit of a sanity check, something a little different. I actually like to see what I said in prior years and see how we did and how things are looking now. So what we've got is just a quick recap of some market and macroeconomic statistics from the last three, this year and then the two prior years. It tells kind of an interesting story. Particularly this year, I think quite a bit of change as we'll see as we go through the presentation. But I'm just going to run through these really quickly, give some quick highlights, and then we'll get into the substance of it. The European equity markets, MSCI Europe Index, is up 7%. Bear in mind that these numbers are lagged a little bit because of our esteemed compliance department. Everyone's probably aware that they're probably up a little stronger than that since the weekend results came out of France. Composite PMI for the Eurozone is up 3.6 points over last year, so quite a positive move there. Unemployment rate, obviously a key focus for everyone, down almost 1%. Year over year. It was 8.9% at last year's event, currently sitting at 8%. And we'll get a little more granular on that when we get into the presentation. Economic sentiment up 5 points, probably at the highest it's been as long as I can remember. Pretty positive signal there. The euro, I have it at 107. It's actually trading around 108, 109. It obviously rallied a little bit Monday following the election results, pulled back a little bit today. And then lastly, I just picked the German IFO Business Climate Index. I'm with Deutsche Bank, bear in mind. And that's flat year over year and down a little bit since 2015, but still at good positive levels. So the overall story is, it looks pretty good to me, but we'll get into the substance in a little more detail. Key topics for the year. Again, no huge surprises here, very similar to what we've talked about in the past. One, the overall macroeconomic environment, which we see is quite positive. Politics and elections, quite a bit of activity there over the last few years and even as recently as last weekend, certainly a key factor in how we view the markets. Thirdly, monetary policy, which we've looked at in prior years and we'll take another look today. For those of you who caught it, there was some news out of the ECB this morning, which I'll talk about really briefly. Next is inflation, and here we have a change from what I presented and what we were seeing last year, and we'll go into that in a little detail. And then lastly, earnings. Again, where we are seeing a change this year versus where we were last year and where we were in 2015. And for those of you that are new, I'll apologize. I also like slides, so I have lots of them, and they're very detailed. I hope they're legible. If they're not, again, apologies. We worked with our marketing team to get things as easy to see as possible. So on the macro side, activity indicators continue to be expansionary. We see continued economic growth. Actually, the Eurozone PMI hit a six-year high in March. That number came out on the 21st, so a little over a week ago. You'll see a noticeable uptick year-to-date on the right side. That's the gray line. But overall, a pretty positive story. And what's interesting is that the numbers are the slope is steepening. So we are seeing some momentum here. And it's a bit of a change from where we were last year, where it was a bit of a mixed picture on a country-by-country basis. Across the board, generally now, pretty much a very positive trend on the upside. And as I mentioned, the European unemployment picture has improved quite substantially. The recovery across Europe is somewhat uneven, but the employment picture is generally getting quite positive. What I would describe it as is just continued slow but steady improvement we've been seeing for several years now. And just to help clarify, that top blue line for the folks in the back, that is Spain. And you'll see a pretty dramatic improvement going back to around 2014, albeit off of pretty much excruciatingly high levels of unemployment. And the two lines at the bottom, which I guess are in shades of gray, no pun intended, are the UK and Germany, who continue to lead with pretty strong economies, robust employment markets, and relatively positive employment markets overall. Consumer sentiment continues to be quite supportive. And again, on the right side, you'll see we've indicated by that gray line a pretty dramatic move to the upside. Two recent developments were the euro area April flash consumer confidence increased significantly last month. That came out on April 20th. And then our CIO from Frankfurt emailed me this morning and said that the euro area confidence is now near a decade high. So a very positive story on the consumer confidence side. And that's obviously quite important in terms of the impact on overall markets. Consumer spending in Europe, as in the U.S., is a major driver of economic growth. The other interesting thing is, as the consumer market gets more positive, that'll give a domestic impetus to some of the other factors and other things we're looking for to generate growth and ultimately earnings and revenues. In the past, I had a couple of slides showing in pretty, probably excruciating detail, how emerging markets had been operating as a bit of a drag on European corporate revenues and corporate earnings. Well, that story's changed a little bit. And again, I apologize, this slide is pretty detailed, but the gray circle at the bottom there indicates the negative impact of EM-exposed stocks. And you'll see that event seems to have largely mitigated and passed, and now actually might be starting to become a bit of a tailwind to European companies, which are much more EM-exposed than their U.S.-based counterparts. So with that negative taken out, that's another factor we see in addition to consumer demand and others that'll help drive corporate revenues and corporate earnings into the positive zone. Again, I think that's a major improvement today versus where we were a year ago and 2 years ago. And as I mentioned, I guess I'd be a bit remiss if we didn't touch on all the elections and the market activity related with them. It's obviously quite a lot going on in Europe. So on the left side, we just indicated a couple of the things that have been going on, the most recent being the French presidential elections, the first round on Sunday. But what's really interesting and I find quite shocking is the asymmetry we see around how elections play out in Europe. So on the right side, what we did was something just relatively simple. We took a couple of events that have happened in Europe, and we looked at what the maximum drawdown was around that event. And then we looked to see what had happened a month later. And kind of pretty much to our surprise, they were really non-events when you look at them over a longer time frame. So what's been going on is that the capital markets are only reacting when the economy reacts, the real world, if you will. What's happening around these political events is they're inducing a fair amount of volatility and certainly causing some short-term angst for investors. But once the dust settles on that, everyone kind of goes back and starts focusing on the real story. And we kind of saw that just recently with this weekend, where there was obviously a lot of angst coming into the first round of the French presidential elections. And I'm sure everybody saw the European markets rally quite strongly on Monday and all through the week, and then the euro bounced as well. So I guess that's a bit of a, it's more of a marathon, not a sprint. There's going to be short-term volatility around these political events, and there are a lot of political events playing out in Europe, some still unresolved like Brexit. But the basic message there is that it's really not become a major factor in terms of driving markets over the longer term, just short-term volatility. This is a new version of a slide I had last year. I hope this one's a little more easily read and understood. And what we did is we're just looking at what the Fed is doing relative to what the ECB is doing. And the key here is that Europe is still about 4 years behind us from a monetary policy perspective. And for those who caught it this morning, no change in interest rates from the ECB, and they're going to continue quantitative easing. So our thinking about tapering for 2017 is still spot on as of today. There's definitely been a lag on both an macroeconomic level as well as on a monetary policy level between the U.S. and Europe, and we're continuing to see that play out. And again, I apologize to the folks in the back. This slide is a little busy. The key here is deflation is no longer a major concern, although Draghi did say today that he's not seeing quite enough inflationary pressure to make him comfortable. But things have changed quite dramatically last year compared to this year. And if you look at the chart that's on your right, you can see a pretty sharp dichotomy. Q3 2016 and over, you can see inflation is very soft. Core inflation is very low. Food and energy, actually deflationary. So that was the concern I mentioned earlier about possible deflation in Europe. A bit of a different story going into Q4 of 2016, and there we have our projections for 2017 and 2018. Again, positive, low, but consistent inflation, as opposed to the fears we had previously about deflation. So the key here is that core inflation is stable. Headline inflation is going to be driven by oil price, and overall a very different picture than where we were a year or two ago. They have the clock in the back of the room this year, which I maybe didn't notice in the past. It's very intimidating. You keep looking to see, am I on time? Am I going too fast? A bit of a digression. So again, those of you that were here in the past, I've used this slide. We've updated and enhanced it. I can't take credit for it. One of my colleagues, a junior colleague in Frankfurt, actually put this together. And I think it's really interesting. What it shows in a nutshell is the historic relationship between corporate earnings in the U.S. and corporate earnings in Europe, and we threw in the U.K. And what's interesting is if you look at the periods from January of 2011 back to January of 1975, earnings were pretty correlated. Didn't move in lockstep, but they tended to move in broadly the same direction. They tended to, you know, be fairly tightly dispersed. That all changed in 2011. The U.S. had a much stronger, much quicker recovery coming out of the GFC, global financial crisis. So corporate earnings really moved up quite dramatically, whereas Europe was dealing with things like Greece and other issues, and corporate earnings actually fell back to almost to pre-crisis levels. So this tight correlation that you had for many, many years, many decades, broke down. You have a big gap between where U.S. corporate earnings sit and where European corporate earnings sit. And the real question we've been focused on is, when is that going to change? Is it going to go back to its historic relationship? Are U.S. corporate earnings going to come down? Are European corporate earnings going to come up? Or are both going to happen? Or is this a new model? And we're starting to see some signs that U.S. corporate earnings are, in fact, coming down. And as we'll see in a minute, European corporate earnings are, in fact, coming up. So we are starting to see some mean reversion there. We also wanted to throw out a couple other factors that we think might be driving some of that divergence beyond the macroeconomics, and namely that there's fewer sharebacks in Europe than there are in the U.S., which is obviously a driver of EPS. There's a somewhat different sector allocation, which has an interesting effect. And then lastly, as I mentioned earlier, Europe is much more emerging markets exposed than the U.S. is, and that's had a significant effect as well on corporate earnings, more so in Europe than in the U.S. And just for the folks in the back of the room, that blue line along the bottom, that's Europe. If it's a little hard to read again, I apologize. So it's fair to say we're seeing definitive improvement in European corporate earnings. Our view is we expect double-digit earnings growth this year. We're seeing positive revisions. We're seeing positive surprises, and we see a positive trend line, which, again, we've indicated on the right side in the gray. The questions are kind of how much and how far and how fast and how sustained. Is this going to look more like, say, it did in 2014, where it was a little bit of a head fake, corporate earnings improved and then pulled back? Is it going to look more like 2009, where there was sustained, solid, consistent improvement, or is it going to look a little bit differently? But pretty much across the board, the feedback we're getting from our analysts as they're meeting with corporate clients and everything is that the earnings environment has changed dramatically for the better, and that's for things that we've been through, EM, the current level of the euro, improved consumer spending, a lot of other factors contributing to that. And I guess it would be a bit remiss to look at earnings without also talking about valuations. Equity valuations for European equities remain pretty comfortably below the long-term median that we see. And again, I'll describe the chart for those in the back. The blue bars are 12-month forward PE. Those very easy to see gold dots are the 10-year median. But what you'll see is, for the most part, European equities look relatively cheap on this basis. We also threw in the S&P 500 on the far right, which is the tallest blue bar with the gold dot about two-thirds of the way up. So maybe not so cheap on a relative valuation for this particular aspect. And of course, there's always a but somewhere in our presentation, so we'll have to introduce it now. Negative investor sentiment remains. There have been very substantial outflows from European equities last year, north of $100 billion across the board, active, passive, you name it. A lot of selling pressure on European equities across the board. I will say that just since the election results on Sunday, we've seen some positive interest and some positive uptick on flows. Again, whether that's going to be sustained or not remains to be seen. And again, for those in the back of the room, the blue line at the bottom, that is the Eurozone, clearly not where it needs to be from an investor sentiment perspective. But we think once we get past a couple of these other political issues in Europe and we continue to see really solid macroeconomic data out of Europe and we get good corporate earnings as we go through earnings season, there's a lot of reasons why investor sentiment should start to shift. So, keeping an eye on the clock. Macro environment. No recession ahead, a lot of positive macroeconomic data, multi-year, even decade highs for many factors, so a very positive picture there. Politics and elections, not only risks, which might surprise some people. There is some risk and reward there, some volatility, but the markets seem to be willing to move through that relatively quickly and focus more on what's happening in the broader economy. Monetary policy, continue to see this four-year lag. Maybe a little less predictable as to when things will change at Draghi and the ECB, but as of today, again, still thinking about tapering, but not quite yet there. Inflation, as we saw, oil price driven, core fairly stable, no longer concerns about deflation, modestly positive, not an issue, if you will. And then lastly, earnings, very much an improvement there, very different picture from prior years. So overall, it's a nicely positive place to be, and I think quite a change from where we were last year, where there were a lot of concerns around Brexit, there were a lot of concerns about the overall economic environment. The data, while at that point was decent, it really hadn't strung together the consistency that we're starting to see now. So with 3 minutes on the clock, I will stop, and let's see if there are any questions, comments, complaints, challenges, assertions, etc. Keep them easy. I had a long night last night.
On the earnings growth, is it coming from top line, better revenues, or is it just more kind of the financial engineering we've seen in the U.S. with share buybacks and the like?
I think it's a mix, but probably a bit more towards the real earnings side, the top line side. I guess some of the things, as I mentioned, like share backs and whatnot that we would typically more see driving that in the U.S. is less prevalent there. And again, we're looking also through the earnings data to look at the earnings quality, and we're seeing quite a good picture there. There's got to be a question about Europe. Please. I'm not a political prognosticator because I've been wrong almost every single time. I think, if you look at the examples we gave, there were some pretty significant events along the way, and markets did move through them. I don't know if that would be the case this time, but if past example holds. But I'll leave that question to the French. Any other questions? Otherwise, we're done actually on time. All right, thank you, everybody. Thank you.